today is Palm Sunday, celebrated all over the world, Christian community. And so I kind of liked looking at life. When I first got saved, I spent months and months, 2 years, just in the Gospel of John, and I was sharing that at Bible study the other night. If we study his life and his ministry, we really see who the Father is. And so my scriptures are from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and it won't be on the screen today. So I'll just give you a minute to go there, John, chapter 12. And these are some things, because I'm in the process of bringing part two next week with Jesus' last week from the time he came into Bethany. That's where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. He was very good friends with them. So it's John chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Before he came riding on the donkey, and I want to talk a little bit about some things. So verses 1 through 7 of John chapter 12. And I'm not really an NIV fan, but in this particular portion of Scripture, I found that they mentioned Jesus, so I decided I could read it. If you know anything about the history of the NIV, they took the name of Jesus 300 times out of the New Testament. So be mindful of what you read. Keep another Bible handy. But in this case, they mentioned Jesus by name, so I'm going to go with it. They can't mess that one up. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. What a concept. Think about that. Before, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he was in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus brought him, raised him back to life again. And here he is in the house. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. And he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." I have a little footnote here that was fulfilled in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 38 through 42, Luke 23, 53 through 56. She was there with that when they were preparing his body for burial. So Jesus not only was prophesying his own death, because he was crucified on the Passover. But going back up to the top of those scriptures, I just was thinking about how everything that Jesus did was so absolutely perfectly in line with, he said his meat was to do the will of the Father. And he told his followers, "Your meat is to believe on him," meaning himself, to believe on Christ. So if you don't know anything else to do in your life, is to believe on him, meaning himself, to believe on Christ. Be born again, and God will begin to reveal to you what he would have you to do. And this is in another account where Martha and Mary were serving. And every time Jesus came to somebody's house, there was him plus the 12. So that's 13 people to feed. And I think some people really have maligned Mary, not realizing that, where Martha was busying around the house, being at his feet, and anointing him. But I haven't heard very few people that it's like they belittled Martha's role. But if you have a gift of hospitality, which she obviously did, that responsibility fell on her. And Jesus didn't always announce his arrival. He just showed up. 13 of them. You really need to trust God to have some food to rustle up, because most of the time they walked, they would have been very hungry. And how ironic is it that Jesus would appoint a known thief in charge of the ministry, the treasury. Oh my gosh, our treasurer, she is the treasury. Oh my gosh, our treasurer is so meticulous to the penny for years, because it's not our money. It's impeccable. You can go back for records years and years and years ago. No, nobody wants to do that job, because if there's something goes wrong with the money, they know who to come find. And but it's interesting that Jesus entrusted that. I was often wondering, you know, how he multiplied the bread and the fish to feed the 5,000. So he probably thought, well, let Judas go ahead and rob me. He's going to hang himself in a few days, so what does it matter? I mean, but he wouldn't think like that. I would. And not only that, but perhaps he multiplied the money even after Judas was taking out of it whatever he wanted. He didn't ever, you don't ever see him accusing him or embarrassing him or calling him out on it. He just didn't. And I was going to go to these scriptures about when she brought those spices. There was someone else in that party that was coming to anoint Jesus. John chapter 19. It'll only just take us a quick couple seconds to scoot over there. In all the times I have read this, I don't know that I really had thought much about it. Verse 38 through 42. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And look at verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus. And that's really important, because Nicodemus came by night. And back in John chapter 3, Nicodemus was told by Jesus that you must be born of water and the Spirit. And Nicodemus was very confused. How can I go back in my mother's womb and I'm full grown and be born again? And Jesus told him, there's a natural birth and there's a spiritual birth. And I found it really neat that Nicodemus actually was part of this. And he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. And there laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was near at hand or close by. And in the Jewish calendar, this is really important, because one, there were two Sabbaths back to back. One was the regular weekly Sabbath, but then there was the other one, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread too. And so a lot of times when people say Good Friday, right, his resurrection on Good Friday, but he was still in the tomb. If you never knew that, but a lot of people never have taken the time to use the Hebrew calendar. And if you want to see how meticulous Jesus' ministry is, it is absolutely impeccable by the Hebrew calendar, and you can't go by our calendar because we didn't have it then. And it is such a wonderful blessing, because you see it from their calendar and how absolutely perfectly everything fulfilled that calendar. I'd say it's God's calendar. And so this was the things that happened just before he came. He did some other things too, but this was his first stop coming into Jerusalem. Before that, he went to Bethany first, had a meal, spent the regular Sabbath day that next day, and then he went to the temple and he had a look around and he found some things that he didn't like too well. But he didn't do anything that day. He just observed. And this is pretty exciting because there's a whole thing about him coming, riding on a donkey. And so this is kind of going to be an opening scripture that's going to continue through this first event. And let me see, where did I have that? Mark chapter 11. So for an opening scripture, it's just going to kind of continue. And I can pick it up after the music, or we can have a look at it now. It doesn't matter because it's amazing how that I heard as a non-believer was, why should I put any credibility into the scriptures? Because they're written by man. But they don't finish the sentence as the Holy Spirit gave them revelation in what to write. And so they say, the Gospels, they don't line up. But they do. And I use an example. If I were to, just this little bottle of anointing oil, if I were to just set that in front of you and ask you to describe it, but you could only describe it from the perspective that you're looking at it. But over here, I could have the label. You can't. And I can describe something on it that you didn't see. And it's kind of like that with the Gospels, where each of them had a portion of revelation. But when you put the four together, they're all talking about the exact same thing. And when you look at how it was the Lord, or the Holy Spirit actually, that inspired them to write what they wrote, they didn't see all of it individually, but the four of them collectively saw everything there was to be revealed. And so you have an interlaying. And so I generally like to follow. And also, everything's not written in chronological order either. And we try to package it all up, and here comes Jesse right on time. Praise the Lord. What a faithful brother. So Mark 11, and when they came near Jerusalem and Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. And he said to them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. That's Jesus functioning in a word of knowledge. Sometimes you can just, when you start connecting things. And if any man says to you, why do you do this? Why, say that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him hither, or to me. I thought about that yesterday again and again and again. I've gone through this whole the Hosanna part coming into the city. And just kind of some background before. This is Jesus' last week. And so we're just looking at the first day or so right now. But I was thinking about, in Texas, you go to steal somebody's credit, you're going to be hanged. But this was all prepared. And I'd like to show you that. Morning, Jess. Psalm 118, verse 26. So we got to do a little Bible running here. Psalm 118 and verse 26. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. When you get down to this account in Mark, and we will, but I wanted to show you the precise timing. Everything that Jesus did fulfilled exactly something that God foreordained before the foundation of the world, and it was written. And at that exact moment, that's how precise the word is. And, you know, because even today, I know you might not go out that far on a limb with me, but you can, and I give you permission to cut it off if I went too far. You always know you have that liberty to bring your own saw. But from before the foundation of the world, I made a comment earlier. Because the Lord knows everything, past, present, and future, we are here today at the exact day, the exact hour, the exact moment that God foreordained that we would be in this building. It's not a coincidence. Jesse, he even knew you'd be ordained that we would be in this building. Jesse, he even knew you'd be pulling in right at the most exciting part of the story, and I think that's so cool. You could have stayed home if you wanted to, but you couldn't because the Spirit brought you. And he knew that you'd be here. I didn't, but he did. Everything. When you think your life is perchance, by accident, happenstance, no, it isn't. It's precise. Absolutely precise. All right, let's read a little further in Mark before I get too far off. Okay. And they went their way and they found the colt tied by the door. I want to say, just as Jesus told them they would. Just as God told them they would. Without in a place where two ways meet or met, and they loosed him. See, they already followed Jesus' instructions, but the owner of that donkey, what do you think his first thought might have been to see two guys out there snatching his donkey?
What do you think you're doing?
Yeah. However, Jesus said, if they ask you, tell them this, the Lord has need of him, okay? And certain of them that stood there said unto them, why do you do this, loosing the colt? Jesus even knew what they were going to ask, okay? And they said unto him, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let him go. Just like that. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way or on the road. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That scripture, written, God's prophecies and his word really are. This wasn't just a day when, you know, Jesus, he could have come any time, any day, but he didn't. There was a specific time that he was called to be there, and he was there. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening was come, and he went out back to Bethany with the 12. If you haven't observed that in verse 11, he was in the temple. It was casing the joint. We would just casually say that. He was scouting the place out. And then we're going to pick up from that after we have a huggy break and some more songs of praise. And I'm just going to leave you hanging on that verse temporarily.